You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, recently Prime Minister Mark Carney met with First Nations from across the country in Gatineau, Quebec to discuss concerns around Bill C-5, the One Canadian Economy Act, which aims to eliminate interprovincial trade barriers and to rapidly push forward infrastructure projects deemed in the national interest. However, the new legislation has also seen swift criticism from communities and First Nations for potentially undermining environmental regulations and Indigenous rights by allowing certain projects to bypass those regulations. Although many elected chiefs and councillors from across Canada were invited to the two-day meeting, many hereditary leaders were left out. Chief Namox, the highest-ranking chief of the Wet'suwet'en Sayu clan, received an invite just hours before the meeting began, and although he was able to make it to Gatineau, he was denied a meeting with the Prime Minister and feels that many Indigenous leaders are not being heard. Today we speak with Chief Namox about what he heard and saw at the meetings, but first, here is what Prime Minister Mark Carney had to say about Bill C-5 to reporters in Gatineau last week.
First thing is that the bill literally just received, well, in the last few weeks, as you know, received royal assent, so became law. The bill and the law, as it now is enabling legislation. The first thing it enables is consultations about what are we actually talking about when we say nation-building projects. And tomorrow, the first part of that engagement, it's not a consultation tomorrow, but the first part of that engagement, in fact, it starts this afternoon in Ottawa with a series of First Nations rights holders, other interested First Nations groups, including the AFN, obviously, is that engagement about the modalities, how this can work, how we work together, what are the priorities. That's before any consultation on any specific project or types of projects. And also before, even if there is a project or when there is projects identified, consultations around the conditions around those projects that must be fulfilled for them to be built, and then moving forward from that.
That was Prime Minister Mark Carney speaking to reporters in Gatineau last week. Coming up next, we hear from Chief Namox of the Wet'suwet'en Sayu clan about why he feels that Indigenous voices are not being heard when it comes to Bill C-5.
Howdy, I am Hereditary Chief Namox of the Wet'suwet'en Nation, and we look after 22,000 square kilometers of territory, and currently I'm calling from my home in Sakya, Hagelgen.
Great, Namox. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News again. Of course, you just got back from your travels in Ontario to see the meetings with Mark Carney and other First Nations from across the country. Tell me about how your trip went and why did you go?
Well, I went because we weren't invited. You have to realize I was told by an elected representative of our community that there was an invitation sent on Friday afternoon to go to Gatineau to meet with the Prime Minister and other leaders, and the deadline was to be Tuesday. So I found out about that on a Friday, and I'm like, I'm going. Even though we didn't get an invitation, so by the time I was en route, there was an email to my personal email with an apology, and we overlooked the fact that we should have invited, and they knew there was no time to get there. I was lucky I was en route, otherwise I'd have never made it, but I needed to be there because they were calling in elected chiefs and councils and no hereditary, so I went. But you also have to realize that in the setup that they had there, they never allowed any of the assistants to any of the chiefs there. So basically, they were there on their own. Nobody was allowed in there. They set up another room with a screen, so people that were to help with information were in another room and couldn't communicate. And then a bait and switch. there was the first initial agenda we seen had Indigenous people speaking from each province. Then the night before the Prime Minister spoke, they switched it, and none of that happened. So it was absolutely a trap.
It sounds like, as you mentioned, a number of elected leaders were invited. Obviously, the Assembly of First Nations were there with their national chief, as well as regional chiefs. Terry Teege, who's also a regional chief here in British Columbia, was there. But a lot of people seem to have pointed out that it didn't kind of curb any of their concerns. On the flip side, it actually reinforced some of their concerns. So what kind of message do you think was sent to yourself and others, knowing that you weren't allowed in the room and you weren't allowed to meet or didn't get a chance to meet with the Prime Minister?
Well, the very fact that decisions have already been made. And I kept reminding everybody, I said, this is supposed to be a democratic country where they're supposed to let the people know what's going on. And when you're going to talk to Indigenous people, don't drop something on a Friday and say, hey, cut off Monday, be here for Thursday. And the very fact that we, when they switched the agenda that we had initially seen, it was all a setup for them just to read their script. And he kept on saying, if you watch what he was speaking, and this is the Prime Minister, this is the law, this is the law, this is the law, which means if we stand up for democracy, clean water, clean air, we're going to be criminalized because it's the law. And he never brought that to Indigenous people or Canadians. This decision was made, in particular Bill C-5, which is a federal. So that involves all of Canada. Why would he get to pick and choose who's in the room and then ignore what is being said to him and just read a script? That's not right.
Namox, I know you mentioned it there that it is now the law of the land, so to speak, Bill C-5. And of course, some believe that this will be used to fast track a number of projects that are going to be, as the government has pointed out, of national interest. But we don't know exactly which specific projects that will be. What's your take on this, knowing that, you know, the Wet'suwet'en, the Tsayu clan just, you know, had to deal with a CGL natural gas pipeline through the territory, which is now feeding gas. The gas is running through that pipeline. You know, what kind of projects do you envision that would be critical and would have the Wet'suwet'en oppose it if it does come forward?
Well, think about Enbridge. They've already brought that conversation back up. Is it a distraction or is it actually real, considering it would be law for them to put it in and unlawful for us to stop it? Think about that. Also, the very fact that when they start making statements without input from anybody, we've now moved from a very democratic and loved country to one that is clearly going to be a petrol state and a police state, because if everything you do is illegal, according to them, selling absolutely everything off, as well as our freedoms, where's the democracy? And we are all going to be criminalized for wanting to have a good life, and yet they tell the world that this reputation of freedom and being able to enjoy your life, have a certain quality of life, that's gone. And they all did this in one sweeping motion behind closed doors.
I know, Namox, you and the other Wet'suwet'en chiefs are no strangers to this type of business. I know you and others have opposed several projects over the years that don't align with Wet'suwet'en values. Did you attend Gatineau with any other Wet'suwet'en hereditary chiefs? And do they feel the same way? Are the hereditary chiefs aligned in this position at this point? Again, knowing that, as you mentioned, there are conversations about oil pipelines and oil export facility here on the North Coast.
I was the only one to go because we weren't invited until, like I said, I was en route. And how could you travel from one end of Canada to the other trying to get flights and everything else? That's, it took me 40 hours from the time I left home till the time I arrived there. And the invitation came en route, 11:30 at night, and the deadline had already passed. And it was already a quarter after of the following day when I filled out the forms letting them know I was coming, whether they wanted me or not. So, yeah, just the way that is done. And you have to realize when it comes to pipelines, oil and gas, whatever, we held feasts in our feast hall, and that is our House of Parliament. And when we stand up and state that we will not support these, that is our law, because we follow our process, which is democratic, because it is our people who instruct us. They call us the head push, because it's the people that give us the words to use, and we push it out for the world to hear.
On that same subject, Namox, as you mentioned, there were some feasts that took place, and clans, you know, banned pipelines, any sort of pipelines from the territory. But as we saw during the CGL years, there were some Wet'suwet'en that were supportive of that project. Are the Wet'suwet'en aligned on this front to stop any sort of other oil pipeline or oil export facility that may be proposed, similar to about 10 years ago with the Northern Gateway project?
When we make a law, that law is forever. So when those feasts were done, those announcements were made, those decisions were made, they stand forever.
I guess one other piece I wanted to chat with you about, we saw a lot of youth kind of show up to, we saw a lot of youth that showed up to this meeting in Gatineau to also advocate for their rights and also their future. You know, what did you hear from the youth, not only from, you know, Wet'suwet'en territory, but from other territories across the country?
The youth, they want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be at the table so they can allay their concerns about their future and everyone's future. And yet they were overlooked. The last meeting we did while we're in Gatineau was with the youth that were there to protest the very fact that these decisions were made without input, and in particular theirs, because they are the ones that will be leading these nations on behalf of their people, looking after the land, looking after the air, looking after democracy. And yet they were not allowed to be seen nor heard. That's why they went.
Just lastly for you, Namox, you know, as we go on with these conversations, and I'm sure we'll soon hear from the federal government around these this list of projects that are in the national interest that may fall under Bill C-5. But what is your message to Prime Minister Mark Carney and the Liberals at this point?
I think what they should do is probably come to our territory themselves. Don't send representatives. Come and see what we're protecting. Come and see the quality of life that we enjoy and we don't want ruined. Because we've already seen what has happened elsewhere. They come in, they destroy everything, take what they want, then they leave and everybody's left with the mess. We want something for the future. And also remember, all damage is done to us when it comes to the climate, water, air. That is affecting the entire planet, and they should look at that, not at the dollar bill that is actually being offered in front, where there really isn't any. They're living under the threat of a foreign government when we should be looking after our own government, our own country, and our own future.
All right, Chief Namox, we'll leave it there for now. But as usual, thank you so much for your insight, and we'll stay in touch on this story as it develops.
Thank you so much for the time to actually tell the truth.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.